speaking on this program is Gary Cawley.
I'm hopeful that what we have discussed about the providence of God and that which Christ avails to us has been beneficial to each and every one. He is in the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of every creature, says Colossians 1:15-17. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So he further says in chapter 2, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. Colossians 2, verse 8 through 10. So as we study these verses, how wonderful they are to know that we have, through the providence of God, everything in Christ that is needful for our eternal welfare. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily is in him. We are complete in him. And we've discussed those ways in which we are complete in him this week. In the test of life, we're complete in him. In the way of salvation for sin, only in him do we find the correct answers. And we meet him, of course, in baptism. And that union with him, the resurrection with him, all is bringing to us the new life that is in Christ. And also when temptation comes, what a test it is. But Christ is adequate to stand by us, isn't he? And then every test of life, every temptation or burden or sorrow, all of these things we can have the help of our Lord. And then in our spiritual devotion, he also stands near, doesn't he? He wants us to come in his name, to devote ourselves unto him and his cause. And then when we come to the valley of the shadow of death, he's the one who walks with us, and all together we're able to come to the other shore. He has the key that leads into that realm of the unseen of the Hadean world. You know, science and philosophy and reason, they have no light. They can't tell you what's beyond this life. In fact, they can't show you what's in the next moment. Not science, not philosophy, not any of the human traditions that man have. No, no, they don't have any light. But Jesus does. Jesus has the key. He has conquered death and the grave. He has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, 2 Timothy 1:10. He's left a way open from earth to heaven. And that way, of course, is through him and through his church. And those who enter into Christ or his church, they're the ones who are saved from sin. They're the ones who are prepared for death. They're the ones who are on their way to the blessings of eternity. Truly, my friends, he is the way. He is the truth. He is the life, as John 14:6 says, isn't it? And when we come to bid the last farewell in the flesh to our loved ones who die in the Lord, it is consoling to hear the Lord say, precious in the eyes of the Lord are the death of his saints, and also, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, they shall rest from their labors, and their works do follow after them. Paul said in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, his service, his honor, his glory, in other words, and for me to die is gain. But then also, last of all for our study this week, Christ is adequate and complete for the test of eternity. You know, some of the last words spoken by our Lord to his disciples before he was led to the cross were these in John 14:1-3. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I shall return again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know the way. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How know we the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hence heaven is, as we've said many times, a prepared place for a prepared people. You know, in the beginning God provided everything in Eden for man's complete happiness, didn't he? What providence was there? But Adam and Eve didn't appreciate that providence as they should, and they followed Satan instead of God's word, and therefore were driven from the garden. Now, there was not anything that was lacking there. in that blissful state before sin entered into the world. And likewise, when the paradise of Eden is restored in heaven, there will be nothing lacking for our eternal happiness there. Why not? Because Jesus is there. He's there now preparing everything necessary for our everlasting enjoyment. My friends, does that mean anything to you? While Jesus is preparing the place, it is our personal duty to prepare ourselves, isn't it, for that eternal abode. Truly, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. An unprepared people would not be happy in a prepared place. You know, this just would not be heaven if those who didn't want to go there were there anyway. Neither would a prepared people be happy in an unprepared place. That is not heaven in all of its realities of eternal blessedness and happiness. Paul said in Philippians 1:23, I am in a strait, a difficulty betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. You know, Christ is now in heaven, where he sitteth at the right hand of God. That's what the Bible says. And there is nothing in this world that is comparable to an eternal bliss of that celestial city. Paul said that I had not seen nor ear heard, neither had entered into the heart of man the things which God prepared for them that love him. But God revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man that is in him? And even so the things of God knoweth no man, save the Spirit of God. He said, we have freely received these, we freely know what God wants, and these things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth. So here, what I had not seen nor ear heard is given in revelation, and one of those things that we have never seen or heard before was the revelation of God's Word pointing us toward heaven. You know, in that city that lieth foursquare, the redeemed of all ages shall be safe from all sorrow, from all sickness, from all pain, and death even, because John said in Revelation 21:4, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. My friends, what does that mean to you? You know, here hardly a day goes by that tears do not well up in our eyes. They may flow down our cheeks unbidden because of sickness or sorrow or death that has come into our life. But we need to know that there, God's going to wipe those tears away. There'll be no more death that will cause those tears. So, we'll not lose our loved ones. We'll not have to bid them farewell. We'll not have to say goodbye to them. Neither will there be sorrow of any kind, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain that might cause sorrow and crying. For all of these former things are passed away. Now, if I could convince you, my friends, that heaven was waiting for you in that kind of a way, wouldn't you want to prepare to go there? Wouldn't you desire to know what the Bible teaches? Wouldn't you read it and study it? Wouldn't you hear it in view of your own soul's salvation? Would you not repent of your sins at the goodness of God? Would you not say, I am sorrowful for sin, that I have transgressed my Father's will. I'm going to change my mind, change my will towards sin, and not walk in it any longer. I'm going to reform my life. I'm going to confess the name of Christ with my mouth before men. I'm going to be buried in the waters of baptism, just as Jesus was. But I'm going to be buried there to wash away my sin, so that I might come forth a new creature in Christ Jesus. You know, that is worth it, isn't it? To be in a place where God shall wipe away all tears, and there be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. Oh, what a beautiful place that must be. And if we really want to, we can go there. Did you know it? Philip Schaff has said, who solves this mysterious problem of life? Who breaks the chains of darkness? Who removes the load of guilt? Who delivers us from the degrading slavery of sin? Who secures peace to our troubled conscience? Who gives strength against temptation and enables us to realize our noble vocation? Who inspires our soul with love to God and man? Who, in the midst of abounding corruption and depravity in this world, upholds our faith in man as the image of God and the special object of his care? Who keeps up our hope and our courage when earthly prospects vanish and dearest friends depart and the future looks dismal and threatening? who dispels the terrors of the tomb and bids us hail death as a messenger that summons us to a higher and better world where all the problems of earth are solved in the light and the bliss of heaven. To all these questions, which may be hushed for a while by the follies of passion or intoxication of pleasure, the eager pursuit of wealth or knowledge, but which sooner or later irresistibly press themselves upon our attention, in every serious mind, there is but one answer. Lord, where shall we go but to Thee? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life, and we know or are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. My friend, you need not turn away from Him. There's no other place to go. So let us find in God's providence through His Son all the blessings that are needful to us.